Joshua came to Living Grace Christian School how many years ago?
Six.
About 6 years ago. And because of the relationship that we've gone through, I almost see Joshua like a son. We've definitely had our meetings and so forth, and we've had to work through a lot of different things. And Joshua has had to really persevere. We see that scripture in Romans chapter 5, right? Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. But Joshua has come a long way. He's come a long way academically. He's come a long way in his character. And he's come a long way in his relationship with the Lord. One thing we always knew about Joshua is that he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. In Bible, even when he was struggling in his academics, he always knew that he would get an A plus in class participation in Bible class, because he was always the first to participate in Bible class and always been so interested in the Word of God. But, you know, this young man has come a long way academically. On the soccer team, he had a great season starting at right wing back this year. He stepped up into a starting position, and he plays clean soccer, and he plays very hard. He's an excellent player, and but most importantly, he has a strong relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's had to really trust God with his life and to really have a relationship with Him. And the Word of God is strongly within him. So let's all sit up in our chairs, open up our hearts to the preaching of the Word of God.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Okay. Let's turn to our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 6. 19 through 20. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. 6:19-20. It says, Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you and whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. Today, I'm going to talk about the temple, the body, and the spirit. What is a temple? The temple is our body. Who here likes to eat food? Okay. If you guys would choose, what's it called, from eating junk food and vegetables every day, which one would you choose? Junk food, right? Okay. Me too. But which one is more healthy for your body? Which one is more, what's it called, which one that gives you more benefit to your body? Healthy or junk food?
Healthy,
right? Okay. So, what's it called? In the spirit, our body is a temple. So, what do we feed our body? Sometimes, what's it called, do you guys really, really like to read the Bible? Because to our body, to nourish our body, we need to read the Bible every day. Because if we don't, because then if we have free time, the flesh will give in, which is the junk food. And we have to, what's it called, nourish our body and our spirit for we may be strong. Raise your hand who likes to go to a clean, house, an organized house. Raise your hand. Or would you prefer going to a dirty, stinky, messy house? Well, our body is God's temple. It's God's house. So in other words, like if our body's filled with sin, it's filled with stinky and messy, how do you think God is going to want to come to our hearts? How is God going to want us to come into our lives? So we have to be cleansed, we have to be clean, we have to be purified. We have to be organized. Have a planner, calendar. If you go to the next chapter, 7 verse 4 says the wife does not have authority over her own body but yields it to his husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body but yields it to his wife. Well, in this occasion, us men like to look nice, like me. I'm dressing up, right? And we like to take care of ourselves and everything. And when we take the decision to get married or get the decision to, to get in a relationship, we have to take care of the woman. And as God takes care of his church. I believe that, that we have to be open and exposed to God. Because in 2 Samuel 6, you can turn there. You got to say amen. Okay. Chapter 6, verse 1. This story is about the ark brought to Jerusalem. David. In this story, if you guys know, he received the ark to Jerusalem, right? He was the king. He was all that. He was dressed well. He had everything, power and everything. So, but he didn't get all that with Christ. So when he brought the ark, he danced in his underwear. He was exposed. He didn't feel ashamed. He felt open. So that means that we, as with Christ, we have to feel open and share with each other and share with God. We don't have to be hidden. So when you're in a relationship, your wife or husband, you have to have that share, because then why even worry? And you guys might think, how I know I'm not even married, I'm not even wearing a ring. But God even used a donkey to talk to the lamb on the way. So imagine, if you use a donkey, if you use something that don't talk to help somebody, for they won't die, for they don't fall, why would not use me? Many of you guys might think that David felt embarrassed. What's the word embarrassed means? Embarrassed means, ashamed. Not opened, like I said. When he had his clothes, and his wife was looking at him like, wow, why would he do that? She didn't support him. If it wasn't for him, he would have been nothing. Because Samuel anointed David. A while back, I visited my uncle. His name is Miguel. And we were praying and we were ministering and everything, and then I felt the Holy Spirit talking to me about the body. The body has a head, a neck, a trunk, which is our body, arms, legs, and toes. The head is where we think and receive and dwell. This is the man of the house. The neck is what helps move the head, which is together and connected. This is the woman. The legs and arms are helpers, children, and family members. So I would say the head equals man, and the head doesn't move without the neck. In other words, I'm trying to say is that men need women. Because if you guys don't have a relationship with your wife, and you guys try to move without your wife, you basically crack your neck. And you die. So what's it called? You guys need the neck to live. So I believe in the Word of God, it says that the woman is like a fragile cup. Un vaso frágil. Now in Spanish. And us men have to take care of her as our own. As a fragile cup. As a glass. When you're walking around with glass, you don't start running around with it carelessly. No, you be cautious. You be wise. So you don't do that same thing with your wife. You don't run around. You don't be careless. You actually take care of her. Okay. Another thing is so I said receive. Man, receive, they dwell in, that's the mind. So when God pours down, this one has 16.9 fluid ounces, and this one has 8 fluid ounces, right? Can this be filled more than 16.9 ounces? It has a limit, right? But can it be filled if it's closed? Can it? No. Same thing when God tries to fill the husband or fills the man, us opportunities to be open. What's it called? Is to be open and receive the Lord. Because no matter what, if you pour water when something's closed, do you think it's going to stop? It's going to keep on pouring down to the neck. The neck is the woman. So it's going to pour the blessings to the woman when the man does not take its part. But if parents or the mom and the dad, it's not cooperating, arguments happening, it goes down to the children. And then the children have to receive it. What is it called? Because there's no excuse for us children. I'm a child. There's no excuse. What is it called for me to say, oh, my mom, my dad, example. Oh, my mom, my dad, they're not doing well. They're not doing this and that. So why should I do it? No. A word that Mr. Garcia said was the children have to stand up. Because on a Friday chapel, he said to us, our parents were like, I don't want to go to church today. I don't feel good and anything. And we have, and us as children has to be examples, has to be future leaders of the generation and say, no, what's wrong? What's wrong? Come on, let's go to church. We're going to keep on going to church. What are you just trying to do? There's no excuse. That's what I'm trying to say. As well as a body of Christ, as well as a church, I believe that we should, as the elders say, what's it called? They're the head of the church. They receive, and when they preach out to us, when they reach out to us, we should be able to receive. We should not be blocked because it might benefit us. In Genesis 3:6, it talks about when Satan, the serpent, tempted Eve. And Eve, many of you guys think that Eve was there alone. She's a bad woman, bad. Let's blame the woman. But we as men need to take part because we're the leaders. Leaders take the wrong. They confront. They cover. They protect. But he was there. He could have stopped her. He could have said, no, that's not right. He went with the flow. So they both made a decision together. You don't see how the neck and the head were separate. No, they were there together, making a sin together. They always made things together. As well, I believe that God gave Adam a helper, a person who is wise and understanding. Because there, all the animals, he put names on them, weren't sufficient. God didn't see that something actually was happening. So he put Eve, a helper, a stronghold, somewhere they could be leaning on. I believe that the woman is really wise because in Abigail was filled with wisdom. Her husband was selfish. He wasn't, a man of God. He wasn't called... was foolish, got drunk, a whole bunch of stuff. And she brought food, she brought everything to David. She was wise. She was, prudent. And I have me as a son of God, and as a son of my mom and my dad, I believe that I should take the responsibility because I do not notice when, example, Dr. Schreiser left the house, he puts Caleb in charge. There's always a man in the house because there's always has to be somebody to support, somebody to be strong. If the man is not strong and if the man is not sturdy, if he doesn't care, he has a careless attitude, everything will fall down. So we need the Spirit to live. We need God's love to live. If we fill our lives by pleasure through junk food, through sin, we're not going to be strong and firm. We're going to start withering little by little. Us men should take that responsibility. Amen. So that's why we have to think before we act. I mean, when we hear that, we're like, oh, we have to think. It's like, but something serious. We actually need to take it seriously. Because now it could determine your future. Okay, so back to the example. So if the man is open and he's feeling, he gets to a limit, right? The wife and the husband are okay. Everything is good. They start filling up until it gets to the limit and it overflows. And it overflows and goes to the wife. And then she, and it overflows, it goes to the children. There's this connection. Connection, for example, as a road. A road isn't one way, it's two way. Just like a relationship. A relationship is two way. It takes two people. It doesn't take one. If you go one way, you have to come back the other way. You can't go the other way. If you go the same way that you can't go back, you get an accident. You get trouble. There's always a law. There's always a boundary. You have to face, you have to work out, you have to look for guidance. You have to look for, information for you guys to help. Like Doc Schreiser, he wrote a book, like how to raise your children, how to raise your child. same thing. just take away the R-E-N. I believe that us, the generation, the new generation, should stand up and build. We should, encourage each other as body, as a web. If you do something one side, it affects the other. So I believe that us men, need to work together with our wives, and our wives need to work together with our men, and that we need to, what's it called, believe in one another and not depend on our own beings and our own strength, because God gave us a neck. He gave us something that sustains us. But always remember that if for you guys to have a good relationship, or if you for your children have a good heart, because I can tell you I've gone through hard times, especially, tell you a short story, my brother, he used to be everything for me. He used to be my idol. And we're not supposed to have idols. When he went to the Marines, I felt like I lost part of me. I was left astray. I lost my bodyguard. I forgot that the Lord was my bodyguard. I forgot that if I felt weary, if I felt my knees were trembling, I could go to Him. I could find strength in Him as well. And I broke down. I started becoming a bully. I started bullying another children throughout my pain. And then, what was it called? I felt bad. And then I went to Dr. Schweitzer. And Dr. Schweitzer was like, so I said, I got a new chance. Let's see if I could try this out. And Dr. Schweitzer said, I'm not going to have a wolf dressed as a sheep in my school. And I was like, oh, man. And I was like, okay, I understand. I have to, because God said, not yet. He was giving me a chance. There's a saying in Spanish, te dan la mano y después quiere coger el brazo entero. He gives you the hand, and then you want to take the whole arm. You want to take everything. God sometimes gives us chances, and we abuse it. Sometimes our parents give us chances, children, and we abuse it. I know I abused it sometimes with my mom and my dad, and I have gone through trials and tribulations depending on them, depending on a lot of people. I would refer myself, a lot of people don't recognize and then refer themselves as leeches. They suck on people. They cojan provecho. They, what's it called, take advantage. And we as children of God should be examples to those people out there, those people who didn't have the foundation of Christ. And what's it called? The temple. The temple has a foundation. And what is our foundation? We have to reflect to ourselves and look in the mirror. When we look in the mirror, we're reflecting ourselves. Sometimes we point a finger to somebody, and there's always three pointing back at you. So always remember that if you're going to point at somebody, if you're going to call somebody out, look at yourself. You're not perfect. You're not, what's it called, almighty. Or all that. God worked a lot with me in the soccer season. I felt like I had a greater potential. I had something go forward. I was like, God, why don't you provide for this and that? A whole bunch of people in my team, they have clubs and everything. They have people, they have brothers and sisters. Brothers, because I don't know if sisters play, I don't know. But what's it called? They have brothers they could play with, they have everything, and I'm all alone. Every time that I try to get close to another person, every time I try to get close to another person to play with, they move away. Every time that I try to, what's it called, to look for my brother, I can't find him because he's in the Marines. But I learned for self-pity. Dr. Fisher taught me, and he walked with me through self-pity. Self-pity, who? Something that you don't want to get into. What is it called? Self-pity is something that I used to have and still working with it, but because I'm not perfect. But self-pity is something like God wanted me to work with Him. He was taking everybody away for, He gave me chances. He was taking everybody away to see, it's me. It's not them. Don't depend on them. Don't depend on them. Depend on me. I'm the one who provides. I'm the one who's... So I surrendered. Amen. And God used me as a vessel.
Amen.
For others. Sometimes we have to hit rock bottom to build on up. Sometimes we put the wrong foundation. Because in the Bible says, I am the rock. I am where you must hold on to. Because if you build your house on sand and water comes and tribulations come, you're going to fall. But if you put it on God and you put your foundation on God, what is it called? You will grow. So I encourage you guys, because us children, what is it called? If you guys start doing wrong things, if you guys let other people influence you, if you go through the emotions, it's going to take you places where you don't want to be. It's like self-pityness for other people is like a drug. What is it called? A drug, you get addicted to it until it becomes something, an habit that you can't do. I had bad habits, what is it called, of talking back, being disrespectful, not looking at people in the eye, rolling my eyes. And like, I don't care attitude. Nobody loves me, nobody, because I didn't open up to somebody, because I didn't trust in somebody. When you go into marriage, it's like a commitment. A commitment is something you trust. You're putting your trust. That's why they said even through sickness and poverty or death to hold, it's not a contract. A contract, you don't trust somebody, you're just signing it. A contract is something that you're like, okay, so a contract can be broken. And the Bible says in that verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about marriage. It says in there that God doesn't necessarily support divorce, because was it called something of separation? Because Dr. Treasure told us young students, you don't want to get into any boyfriend girlfriend relationships, and because you're going to start breaking up, and then when you get in a relationship, you break up, and then until you can get married, or you're already used to breaking up. And what's it called? I know some friends who've been in relationships, and they've gone through hard times and hard troubles and everything. And I said, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't give you the whole body. They give you the hand. They always wanted to get everything. So I was called to encourage you guys to really think about how is our body. What are we really reading the Word of God? Are we really meditating the Word of God? Having a relationship with the Lord? Before you get any relationship, man, I'm like 16. My hormones couldn't be high. Could be high, really high. And I could be like, ooh, look at that girl. Ooh, look at that. No. My mom taught me. Because my first girlfriend, I don't know about you guys, is my mom. Because us guys, the way we treat our mom is the way we're going to treat our girlfriend. Is the way we're going to treat our wife. Not girlfriend, but our wife. Because I learned, my mom taught me there's no girlfriend. There's either fiance and wife. Because when people say girlfriend, I was like, okay, so she's your girlfriend. So she's the girl, and she's your friend. And he's your boy, and he's your friend. Okay, so I understand that. But when you take that decision, you're sealing it. When you put a ring on, you're sealing it. You're making a seal. When you make a seal, you're putting your own mark. You're putting something personal into it. As us, as people of God, we should put our own personal desires into having a relationship with the Lord. Amen. Have a road with the Lord. Jesus is our bridge where we could have a relationship with God. Amen. He died for all our sins, for all of us could have a relationship with God. Because if He didn't die, we all would have died. As He took all that weight. And I believe that the hardest thing for Jesus was taking all the sin on all our sins, was actually really being separated from His Father. Amen. Being really separated from His Father. I could tell you as a son, my mom's been there for me. My father hasn't been there for me a lot because he works. A lot of you guys have been asking, where's your dad? We miss him and everything. And I said, I know. But he works a lot. And I felt that he hasn't been there for me. I haven't had a father as an idol and everything. So why should I I'd be myself, but that's no excuse. Because I have a father and I have a brother. My brother hasn't been there for me. My brother is the Holy Spirit. And my father is God.
Amen.
And I've noticed that every time that I look for somebody and I know somebody as a father, they put Mr. Silva, they put Dr. Schweitzer, they put Pastor Pratt, they put a whole bunch of men. Not just one, but men who could be examples for me to walk out. So I encourage you guys, if you guys ever don't feel safe, you guys don't feel open, open with somebody. Open with Dr. Schweitzer. He's a really good listener. Trust me, he is. And if you feel like somebody rebukes you, it's because they love you. Yeah. I've been rebuked a lot. yeah. But yeah, I'm still going through that road. It's better going through the narrow road. It's better than going to a wide road. Because a wide road can lead to destruction, and a narrow road can lead to life. That's why sometimes I put example on discipleship. That's what she used to do with discipleship. He said that the reason that God molds us is for a reason, right? And I put the example as the potter. The potter, what is it called? He molds us and then he put us in the furnace. When he puts us in the fire, the trials and tribulations, we want to get out. We're like, no more. We surrender. He wants us to surrender completely. But he keeps us in there no matter what. And he puts people in there with us. Because he knows that we're 100% human. Even God, Jesus was 100% human, 100% God. He was tempted many ways. It only said a little bit, those 40 days. But I bet he was tempted even above that. So imagine Jesus. If he could do it, we could do it. So I want to encourage you guys to talk to somebody, be open. Because one thing that I learned was to be open. Because if you become a jar, enclosed and everything, it's hard to escape. These 6 years, many of the people call me a loner. I'd be alone. I wouldn't have friends. People would be mean to me. And I'd say, okay, I'm unique. Amen. Because what's it called? No matter what, they didn't get close to me. I let it go, everything happens. Now guess what? They're coming to me. Because I know who I am. I know who I am because God gave a word to my mom and gave it to me on Psalms 1. And that's another message. And I believe that everybody has a purpose. My name is Joshua. It means leader. It means not follower. I always want to be fit in with the crowd, right? And be like, oh, so they're like, you know those people that say, okay, you want to be with us? Go rob a bank. I'm exaggerating, I know. Just go rob a lollipop and bring it. And we're going to see if you're really loyal, right? Don't do it. I'm not saying you need to do it. Don't do it. What's it called? And then you do it because you want to fit in. Usually people these days, they just want to fit in. They want to be part of something. What's it called? I've met many of you guys. What's it called? Even adults, even children, what's it called? Have gone through hard times. I saw this movie named War Room. The best place to win wars is on your knees.
That's right.
Because it's not physical, it's not verbal, it's not talking back, it's actually in your knees. If you feel like sometimes I felt Dr. Trish was rebuking me too hard, and I was like, so close, like, why are you rebuking me so much? But I wouldn't say that. No matter, I'll take it, I'll bite my tongue and go on my knees and say, God, am I really like that? I would reflect. I would say, am I really like that? I don't want to be like that. I want to be your son. I want to be your child.
Amen.
Because God made the ultimate sacrifice and was the cause of giving his son. And thank you.
Joshua, you're going to make a great husband someday. I'd like all the young people to stand, and parents, let's just place our hands on our children, on our young people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, brought out excellent principles from the Word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for these young people that they would be raised up to be champions for the Lord, that they would be great godly husbands, great godly wives, that they would lead godly families, they would raise up godly children in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord God, that you would work your character within them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that yes, they would not dwell in self-pity, Lord God, but they would know that they are answerable to you, Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what's going on with their parents, that they are accountable to you, they are responsible to you, Lord God, that you would raise them up to be champions for you, Lord God, servant leaders for the advancement of your kingdom, Lord. Father, do what you need to do, Lord God. Help them to respect and obey their parents, Lord God. Help them to respect and obey their teachers, Lord God. Help them to have good soil hearts, Lord God, that receive the word and let your word be planted deep within them, Lord God. Help them to not simply be hearers of the word, but help them to be doers of the word. Help them to build their lives upon the rock of Jesus Christ, to put your word into practice, Lord God, that when the inevitable storms of life come, Lord God, that their house, their families, their marriages will remain standing, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for doing your work in their lives, Lord God. Help them to keep a relationship with you, Lord God. Father, help them to keep their, as Joshua shared with us, help them to keep the cap open to their life, Lord God, so that you by your Spirit can fill them up, Lord God. And Father, out of them may rivers of living water flow. Out of them may the Holy Spirit flow, Lord God. Help them to be others-focused and not self-focused. Help them not to be self-absorbed, but help them to be others-focused, Lord God. Use them for the advancement of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's just thank the Lord for using our young people this morning. We just bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day in the Lord.